that Friday morning and get back. We'll spend the night Friday night. We'll get back Saturday. So if you're interested in that, just see me afterwards. Other than that, I think that's it. Okay, take your Bibles and go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We've been looking at separation in our Bible and issues that God says there should be boundaries in your life that you don't cross, because I want to be close to the Lord. I want God's presence. I don't want to do the things that grieve the Lord or things that God hates. And so separation is a topic. We looked at it on the first Sunday school lesson. I didn't want to just review it with you every time we went through something. But we've been through some pretty volatile topics that people leave churches over. Okay? You say, like, which ones? I've watched people leave over alcohol. There's certain things you're allowed to preach for certain people, and if you touch that cow, that golden calf, we're out of here. I've watched people leave church over preaching on hell and soul winning. I've watched people leave churches over their pet thing that they like. Well, we've been looking at issues that God says put boundaries around and separate yourself from. All right, so we're going to come to a heavy duty. It's just like music. Whenever I get to preach on music, whenever we're done, there's no good music in the world. I mean, go to Wawa. They play it with you. They pump it at you the whole time you're pumping your gas. I mean, one stupid song. Good grief. I was sitting there and I was like, how many times can you say the same phrase over and over again? I got it the first time, meathead. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just drilled. That's just the issue of music. And when you find out God's standards on music, that's just one issue. Then you find out, wow, it's everywhere in the world. Well, the topic this morning is gambling. So if somebody asks the question, is gambling a sin? I could say it absolutely is, but we're going to look at the Bible reason why it's a sin this morning. Okay? So, but you want a big topic in America? 60% of America gambles on a regular basis, and if you up the poll to how many have gambled in your lifetime, it goes up to like, I don't know, it's close to 90%. So, Many more people gamble than don't. And if you don't gamble, I hope this morning's lesson helps you and give you biblical reasons to not do it. But if you don't gamble, you're in the minority, which is always a sign of God's people, right? There's always been a remnant or a small group, God's people. In other words, we're never in the majority. God says don't ever follow a crowd to do evil. Because the crowd's always doing evil. The majority is always headed over the cliff. So when we look at a topic like this, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. What's contentment? Contentment is, the word comes from learning it to hold it all together. Contentment says, I have everything I need. Contentment is the opposite of covetousness. Covetousness is wanting things that don't belong to you or you can't afford. Okay? And just so everybody remembers, you don't hear a lot of preaching on it in our materialistic society, but covetousness, thou shalt not covet, is the 10th commandment. It's like one of the foundational truths. What do you allow yourself to want and like and desire and pursue? So godliness with contentment, God says learning to love the Lord and put God first, keep your eyes on the Lord, and to be content with what he's given you is great gain. And that's one reason some Christians aren't happy. They haven't learned contentment. I love this statement. Contentment isn't based on what you have. Contentment is based on who you are. There are some people, they're never satisfied. They always have to have more. They're never content. I remember talking to one lady in a church several churches ago, And every time she mentions somebody in the church with money, like she was raised poor and her husband, they just got by, but her daughter married somebody that was rich. And every time she'd mention her son-in-law, oh, he's just born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And he's just, her view of people with money was in bitterness because she never had enough. And I remember thinking, I don't think if you had a newer house or if you had a newer car or if you had everything you think you have to have, you always got to have more. You know, the old statement goes like this: how much money would it take to make you happy? Just a little bit more. So don't live for it. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Money cannot, God tells us that in his word. Money can't satisfy you, but if you live for it, you end up being on this mouse wheel that spins and wears you out. And it will wear you out. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Learning. If God hasn't given it to me yet, then I obviously don't need it if he supplies my every need, right? So if he hasn't given it to me yet, then yeah, I can put it on a prayer list. I'll pray about it. But God, when you feel, I love this statement, and many of you have told me you enjoy me saying this, but it's a good truth. You know how much money you have? Read Luke 16. You have as much money as God can trust you with. And if you want more money, then be more faithful with what God's given you. Amen. If you want God's blessings, amen. So godliness, just a whole lot in that verse. Neat. The reason we're going there, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. You've heard the old statement, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul, right? Rothschild, richest man ever lived, per capita. Yeah, do you know how much he left? Everything. Everything. What we will leave, we came into this world with nothing, and we leave with nothing. The only, unless it's eternal, eternal things, what the Bible calls true riches, those you take with you. Amen. Those you store in heaven, but not material. Here we go. Verse 8, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. There's that word again, content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. The key word there is will. And it's not a sin to have money. Being wealthy isn't sinful. Joseph of Arimathea, the man that Jesus borrowed his tomb after he was crucified and was buried for 3 days. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. I think it's neat. Didn't need it for long. I don't know how much you'd pay on 3 days. Okay. But anyways, Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. He was known worldwide, and he ended up, after Jesus rose again from the dead, went up to Britain, and there's still churches that started schools up there to this day with his name on it. So is it Russell Anderson, we can use all types. It's not a sin to have money. It's a sin for money to have you, for money to make your decisions and not God. Amen? That's easy preaching, hard living. Okay? Especially in America. Especially in America. Here, they that will be rich, and it's not those the word will means those that want it at all costs. Those that will to be rich. Those that saying, I'm gonna make $1 million by the time I'm 30. I'm gonna do this. And when you want money to that degree, those that will, that's how the verse reads. Okay? Those that put money as their premier goal, then the curses that follow, okay, read the curses, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And then that famous verse, verse 10, for money is the root of all evil. It's not what it says, is it? It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And just to show you, look, if people dying was really an issue, they'd outlaw liquor because it's linked to more than 80% of the deaths. If drugs were a real issue, they would stop it. they're not going to stop the drug traffic. They'll do just enough to make you think they're doing something, but there's too much money involved. There's billions involved. And then you learn something as you knock on people's doors. There's drug dealers here. That's the small pocket change. If you want to find out where it's really dealt with and the millions of dollars, go down to the courthouse. It's run by the officials in the towns. Your drug dealers out here, that's your chump change. That's the little traffickers and stuff like that. They really wanted to stop. We just got to do something about the opioid problem in America and fentanyl's killing people. If they really wanted to do something about it, trust me. They got satellites that can take a picture of the freckle on your nose. And they can't stop the drug trafficking? No, they don't want to. The love of the money that it brings in is the root of that evil. If you want to get one more thing, just every sin that kills people, money is involved. What did Trump say when he was? The biggest problem America has is trafficking. Now that the border's open, it sources all of the pedophiles and the trafficking. It's going through the roof. In every society since Adam fell, slavery has been the main moneymaker, selling people, as disgusting as that is, in every society to this day. Ask anybody that teaches money, they say the greatest moneymaker is trafficking, selling humans. Isn't that sick? But sin, if money is your goal, then sin always sells. They say, you want to make a bunch of money? Pick a vice. Sell liquor. You can't have a small drug store nowadays. You can't have a convenience store. I heard one Christian goes, well, if I had a convenience store, I'd sell gasoline and food, but I wouldn't sell liquor. And I said, I, you know what? I'd come to your place and buy food and gas, but you ain't making it. You don't make it unless you sell liquor. It ain't happening. That's our society. Amen. So I said that here. Why would you hit all that? Well, look at the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then God tells us to flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Here we go. Let's take the issue. Why would I hit this when we start a Bible study on gambling? Because gambling feeds off of greed and covetousness, period. You want a neat definition of gambling? You say, how do you define it? Okay. Gambling is your gain at always being at somebody's loss. You want a nice, simple definition. Somebody said, well, it's paying a little to get a lot. Okay, that's one way you can look at gambling. Okay, it's any transaction or pursuit involving risk and uncertainty. Here's another definition of gambling. To play games of chance for money at high stakes. Okay, if you need a definition. In America, the leading form of gambling is lotto. You know, the tickets and garbage. The next form of, it's 37% of gambling is done in lotto, the highest number. 21% is casinos. Then you've got horse racing and bingo and raffles and betting and carnivals and pitching pennies. I mean, we put it all on the board. Amen. But how you define gambling, it just the thought of you making a win at everybody else's loss should let you know it's a form of thievery, right? In other words, as far as common sense kicks in, G. Campbell Morgan said, the whole habit of gambling is the essence of theft. And this is for the reason that it is a means of coming into possession of property for which one has done no honest work. what a way to say it. He said this in the 50s. Okay. This was said more than 50 years ago. Whether their practices are gilded by the glory of a court or tarnished by the vulgarity of a slum, the gambler is a thief in the sight of God and ought therefore to be so in the sight of all honest men. Gambling is, as far as how you define it, you know what I mean? Well, you know, it's just taking a little risk every once in a while. I like the thing. It's your gain at somebody's loss always. Out of 1,100, I'll just give you a few stats, okay? Out of 1,100 rescue mission clients, 80% said easy access to gambling creates hardship, okay? 20% of those in the rescue mission said that gambling was the cause of their homelessness. Americans spend $53 billion a year on gambling, casinos, lotto, all that. $53 billion a year. In 1931, gambling was legalized in the first state in Nevada. Okay. Obviously Las Vegas. Okay. The filth place. In 1977 was the time the next state followed. And since 1977, 48 states have legalized gambling. And the way it's always legalized is, oh, it's going to bring in so much money. And it'll help our state. And what you have to know is in every state, every dollar received in gambling taxes, government spend $10 fighting the problems that the gambling brings in. What? You won't find a casino that's not run by the mafia. To bring in a casino brings in the mafia. What follows mafia? Prostitution. Always. It's been that way. You can't escape that. If you knew what it was linked to, it brings in prostitution and trafficking. It brings in the underworld and mafia, always. It brings in embezzlement, bad checks, police corruption. It corrupts the police in the area. Not every police officer, but it corrupts a lot of police because it makes the revenues accessible, okay, to where they can add to their income. Divorce and homelessness, insanity rates go up and suicide rates go up. Now, if that's all you knew that gambling was linked to, doesn't it seem like it'd be something to stay away from? When my wife and I won a tour, a cruise, and it was, down in where you leave Miami and you go to Key West and a Caribbean cruise. We won that with Pastor Owens. And that was our first cruise. I thought that was one of the most amazing things I've ever been on. Well, I've never been to a casino. I'm not going to a casino, but to get from one end of the ship to the other, you had to walk through the casino. I remember walking through and I saw my first casino. My wife and I, we would sit up on the decks down there. Of course, there's restaurants all over the place and you eat till you explode. And walking through that casino, I remember they had the place where you could buy the coins. And then there was, at the places where they sit at those big round things where they're trying to pull the coins toward them and stuff like this. And then there's the slot machines. And then there was the roulette and the card tables. It was okay. It was huge. It was like a Walmart. I'd never seen so many people sitting with a pile of coins, box or a little bag. And that's all they did all day. We walked through there and I was just like, look at that. Have mercy, Uncle Versy. And boy, did they push the gambling on the ship. You know, would you like to add some tokens to your, no, thank you. you don't? Why? Because I'm saved. But anyways, you saw it when you traveled from one end of the ship to the other. And I just thought, how sad. There were some people, that's all they did. They did the ship to do gambling. I thought, what a horrible waste of money. What a horrible way to spend money. Oh, but you might make it rich. You'll notice something. Let's look at, don't forget in your Bible, as you read your Bible, God's financial steps is work, earn, save, spend. Always. That's God's plan. Work, earn, save your money, and then spend it. Credit cards reverse it, right? Spend, earn, work, earn, and never save. That's a credit card philosophy, right? So God's three plans for our use of money is we receive money through hard work and prayer. We give money in tithes and offerings and in giving to others as God directs us. We manage our money by living on the rest after we give God our 10%. Then we pay bills on time. That's learned. We learn not to borrow because the borrower is servant to the lender. God teaches that from Deuteronomy on, right? So if you want to be a slave, get wrapped up in the debt. Building sales resistance, that takes experience. Learning how to say no, you know, through the psychology of the sale. Staying out of debt. Managing. So that God's plan for our money. You'll notice in gambling, there's no faith or trust in God's word. Go to Proverbs 28. Go to Proverbs 28 and watch this. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Okay, look at verse 16. Ready? Proverbs 28:16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. I hate living and not being content. That'll lengthen your life. But always wanting, one day I can get something bigger and I can get something nicer and I can have a nicer car and when you can't be content with what God, it takes your life from you, with what God has given you. Look at verse number, 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Please notice verse 20. Anybody that's in a hurry to make money, well, if I just spend this, I can get this, and the hope of getting rich. And I mean, to me, it's so sad going into Wawa and you see the people lined up at the lottery machine, you know, and you'll notice something. Even when you study gambling yourself, it feeds off of the poor in society. It feeds off of the poor. As a matter of fact, since I've been pastor here for 8 years, the only people that I have heard talk about how they struggle with gambling in our church has been those that are on state income. And they'll say, boy, I just really struggle because when I go into Wawa, there it is. You know, what's the money ball this month or this time of the year? How many millions could you win? It feeds off of the poor and the lower income. I didn't say people who gamble are of lower income. I said it feeds off of it. It feeds off of it. Notice this. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Verse 22. He that hasteth or is in a hurry to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. So there's a curse in gambling. You say, the word gamble is not found in your Bible. It's just like cigarettes. Show me where smoking's a sin in your Bible. I can't, but I can show you principles in the Bible that teach you not to smoke. Amen? Same thing with gambling. Now, that's Proverbs 28:20 and 22. 22 ought to be linked together. Go ahead and go to Proverbs 13. Ready? Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Look at, ready? Look at verse 10 and 11. Proverbs 13, verse 10 and 11. Only by pride cometh contention. What a verse. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Remember? God's plan. How do we receive money? God teaches in the Bible. Hard work. And when we need something, God expects us to pray and trust him for it. Amen? If there's something that you can't afford, or if there's something that a need arises, those needs push us to our knees, and it's good to see God provide. Not the world's way. Well, you know, if you just risk a little bit, you might win a little bit. Well, they didn't tell you how much you were going to lose. They didn't tell you how much you were going to lose. Look at Proverbs. That's in verse 11. Oh, no. Yeah. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Now go to Proverbs 16. Look at verse 7. When a man's ways Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. What a verse. God says it's better. You say, what do you mean, revenues without right? Remember? Everything gambling's linked to? Somebody said, well, when it came to our town, we should have just stood against it. There's so much money behind putting a casino in. I personally would rather go soul winning and win somebody to the Lord. Not because I'm scared of death, but if you get in the mafia's way, they will kill you. There's too many billions of dollars involved. You won't stop a casino. The love of the money is the root of the evil. All that it's linked to. Here we go. Gambling feeds off of selfishness and greed. Okay? Remember, you can serve God or you can serve mammon or money, but you can't serve both. Well, I love God, but I love making money. God made you to only be able to go after one or the other. You can't go after both. Matthew 6:23, right? You either love the one and hate the other, hold the one and forget the other. You can't serve God and mammon. It feeds off of selfishness. There's no faith. There's no trust in God's word with gambling. When you look at Exodus 20:17, that's the thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's ox, thy neighbor's ass, thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor. Covetousness is a sin to not be content. It's something that we're supposed to guard ourselves against. Go to Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Go in your New Testament to Luke 12:15. And what a verse. Luke chapter 12, and look at verse 15. Luke 12, and look at verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. So Jesus said, be careful, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He said, you better be careful. If you put too much, we live in America. Praise the Lord. We funded missionaries. God's used our country, but materialism is here. And it puts a whole different perspective on serving God here, where money is so prevalent. And I like our comfortable life. Amen. I like our easy life. But you want a reality check? Go to a third world country like Panama, where they have a preaching service. Church is looked at totally different. I love our church. I don't want to be anywhere else. Amen. I'm just trying to give you a view. This, the way church is viewed in a third world country where they don't have a lot. The preaching service started on that Sunday at 6 o'clock. It went till 11 o'clock, and the people who came in spent hours on their jeepneys coming in. And that was in the Philippines, too. They spend the night. They sleep in the parking lot. Church starts the next day. They all eat, together. We're talking about 300 people. They spend the night in the parking lot. They can't wait for the preaching to start happening at 9 o'clock. You say, well, they're just poor, and they don't have a life till it. They don't have money to focus on. And it's amazing how much more excited people get about the Lord and spiritual things when the materialism isn't bogging them down. Now, I realize that's what we deal with in America. It's learning to not be materialistic, learning to keep God first. It takes work. Amen. We've got battles to fight that the Christians who were in Paul's time didn't fight. Amen. Somebody said the dollar has done to Christianity what lions in the Colosseum could never do. There they would stand up and say, they've got something worth dying for. I want to live that way. Here in America, the dollar kills Christianity. I'd rather make money. I'd rather do this. I'd rather live for the dollar. Gambling. It's a covetousness in your Bible. Man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. Covetousness, God says in Colossians and Ephesians, is idolatry. We should but protecting yourself against, if God hasn't given it to me yet, then I must not need it. Be careful what I give my heart to. When I was in Bible college, I'll just tell you the story. It was S&K Tools, you know, and Snap-on. Matco. There's the Matco truck that delivers tools, and there's S&K, and there was this S&K tool store, when my wife and I just got married, and I was at the end of Bible college and getting ready to go out in the ministry, and I'm trying to prepare to do everything myself. You know, I'm thinking as a pastor, you know, I got to learn. I'm already a welder, and I just need to learn how to fix everything and do everything by myself. And I got wrapped. My dad's a mechanic, and he helped me rebuild the engine on my car when it blew. And so as I went there, I thought, boy, I'm going to need things for when I'm in the ministry. And I'd stop by there, and they'd have all these tools on sale, you know, clearance. Me and Clarence, we're just like this, you know. Me and him, we're best buddies. That was a joke. And I would stop by there, and I'd get a few tools. And I'd head home and get ready to go to work. I'd stop by there the next day and get a few more tools. And then go home. And my wife was watching me build up the tool thing. She goes, you're getting tools every day. And you know what the drawing stick was? I got a windshield replacement tool. Have you ever seen those? And when I walked in the house, I had three of them, right? Three different size, you know, the plastic things. She goes, what are those? I said, they're windshield replacement tools. I said, you never can tell. She goes, you ever replace a windshield? I said, no, but I might have to. And she made an interesting statement to me. She said, I'm watching you get consumed with these tools. She says, I guess that's okay as long as your Bible's consuming you that much. That's what happens when you marry a good woman, amen. She made a statement that slapped me in the face. That was the last time I went to the tool store. I said, you know what? My covetousness wasn't in check. I was allowing myself. Okay, you're right. Are you going to prepare for everything that could happen to you in the ministry, or are you going to trust God? How do you prepare for everything in life? When do you trust the Lord, right? When eventually do you give it to God and say, you know what, Lord, if I need it, you'll give it to me. Lord, help me just keep my eyes on you, serving you. Amen? That was one of the reality checks I've had in covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. Jesus said it proceeds from our hearts. Our hearts are wicked. Amen? Evil eye and all that. I like this. We'll close this down, but just follow me here. Knowing what you know now, all that gambling is linked to, its history, I think God does speak against it, and I feel very strongly it's a sin. Is gambling a sin? Yes, I believe to gamble is a sin. Because the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, would never lead you to gamble. Can you picture Jesus playing poker? It's almost blasphemous, isn't it? You know? Okay, I raise you four here. It's blasphemous, isn't it? That's why I believe, as a child of God, no, I don't believe we're supposed to gamble. I believe it's something that when you heard Brother Dorsey talking, when Pastor Kiner and the evangelist came by to lead him to the Lord, he was saying, when you talk to Brother Dorsey, I mean, I know he's in heaven now, and amen, he's with the Lord. But he used to say, yeah, went to the hospital. I knew my gambling was going to catch up with me. I knew that, but gambling was a major part of his life until he got saved. Amen. And I put up here, Jesus would never throw dice or buy a lotto ticket. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. We're supposed to live our life to the glory of God. The gambling industry doesn't make or create anything. It's only parasitic on society. And it's one of the downfalls of America. 48 states. I said that this morning. I hope you have boundaries in your home. We don't do that. We're not going to spend God won't bless that. Amen. and what it's linked to, I don't want anything to do with. Amen. I believe that's the way a Christian is supposed to think. And as we learn and as we walk with the Lord, I think God helps us. Amen. But here we go, Christian. I'll close with this. I started with it. Many more people in America gamble than don't. I don't care if it's lotto or slot machines or whatever it is that they stink and do. To take a stand against it, you are in the minority. Amen. And that's one of the things that makes church enjoyable. Amen. As we come together and we enjoy, we're trying to live our best for the Lord and do what we can. None of us are perfect, but amen. We rejoice that there's a place where people are trying to do right. Amen. God bless every one of you. Have a good one. Hey, take a picture of the board. You can take it home. It's a good Bible study. And it's good things to have marked in your Bible there. I'll see you in the auditorium in just a minute.